Alrighty, well, we are going to spend some time in God's Word, and we're going to start by going to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I'd like to share a little bit on the subject of our authority that we have in God's name and the name of Jesus Christ. Our authority that we have in God's name and in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it's a great scripture. And it says, some of the things you do, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, which carries every, it's all words, all actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And I'd like to look at a little bit of things of what it means to be to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, there are a lot of ways we can do things, but God wants us, everything that we say and do, it would be in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've all, well, I don't know if we all, maybe the younger kids aren't aware of it yet, but there's a thing called name dropping. Have you ever heard somebody in conversation? Such and such, I know, and we're really close friends, and you may have even done it. Maybe you got stopped by a policeman, and you happen to know, you know what town you're in, you say, oh, I know your chief. I just saw him last week. And so you're dropping a name to get some type of influence, some type of reversal of getting the ticket or whatever it is that you want or don't want. You're trying to use that name to get you something or not get something. And it's done. I mean, people do it. But there is a use of the name of God Almighty in the Old Testament, New Testament, the use of the name Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I thought it'd be really wonderful to look at it. To start, we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is with David, the young David, before he was king of Israel, and with the big goon, Goliath. Most of us are familiar with the record of David and Goliath. David was the big guy. He was a Philistine. He was challenging the children of Israel to battle one-on-one. Everybody knew nobody could beat Goliath because of his size. But David heard of it, and he said, I'm going to do it. And he told the king that, and the king said, okay. And they come face to face, Goliath with David. David's a teenager, and Goliath was a man of war that's probably about 10 foot tall or so, big guy. And we're going to pick it up in verse 43. It says, and so when they're getting together, he goes, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So one's coming with a sword and a spear and a sword. And the other one, young David, was coming in God's name. You may say, okay, he really doesn't have a chance. But that's what David came to the Philistine with. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, When the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. And that was the end of Goliath. David didn't come to Goliath with his own ability, with his own strength. He didn't even come with the normal fighting attire of sword and spears and guy in front of him kind of protected him. He came to him in the name of the Lord of hosts. What power there must be in that name. Let's go to 2 Samuel. While we're in the neighborhood, 2 Samuel's right after 1 Samuel, chapter 5. David came to him with the God, with God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. The term Lord of hosts refers to God. It's one of his names. Chapter 5, verse 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. The Lord God of hosts was with David because David chose to be with the Lord God of hosts. He chose to do God's will. He chose to do God's word. When he heard God's word, he said, "That's what I want to do. That's what I believe." He walked with God, and Dave and God was blessing his life. Chapter 6, verse 18. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Chapter 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, and this is Nathan the prophet speaking on behalf of God, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee, referring to David, from the sheep cote and from following the sheep to ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. So again, we see that the Lord of hosts aided and helped and strengthened David. David had natural abilities, I'm sure, like we all do, but he relied on the Lord of hosts. That was the key right there. Let's go to Psalm 84. Utilizing the name of God is, and doing things in the name of God is just so great. Psalm 84, and here's one reason why we can. Verse 8, it says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. You know, he was beseeching God to listen. Does God listen to our prayers? All through the scriptures that he does. And he answers. He doesn't just listen to them. He's not like a husband that doesn't do anything. You know. Okay, dear. He's a God that hears and does. Yep. Yep. Psalm 89:8. Psalm 89, 8, Psalm 90. No, Psalm 89, verse 8.
Oh,
89. That's a numeric game. You know why there's no 9 in the numbers? Because 7, 8, 9. That's why. So anyway, okay. Psalm 89, verse 8. And it says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to the faithfulness round about thee? Verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the right of thy light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. You know, that just shows God's wonderful, great power that can be displayed and utilized by God's people. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy, this is one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, so Jeremiah, this is a trick question. How many Ten Commandments are there? Ten? Right, you got it. Okay. Chapter 5. I did tell you.
That's why it was a trick question.
Right. Did I tell you Deuteronomy?
Yeah.
Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 5.
Where is Deuteronomy? At the beginning.
And in verse 11, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I don't know all that it means. I don't even know if I know a smidgen of what it means to take his name in vain. But we're going to look at a little bit at it. The word take, basically, it's got a lot of definitions. Some of them are to be lifted up, to be exalted, to carry, to bear. Like if you take something or you can take it and put it someplace, but it's where you're grabbing onto it. So we're not to take whatever that is, that which is the name of God, in vain. And the word vain means emptiness, falsehood, nothingness. So we're not to take God's name and use it for nothing, or consider it trash, or that's just, you know, that Bible stuff is just a bunch of bull. You know, or we just reject it or neglect it. So God said, don't take my name in vain. I want to show you an example of it. And in Numbers chapter 13. So to take the name in vain, God's name in vain, one, at least one avenue of it is we just don't believe what God says. When all of Israel was scared about Goliath and they were stuck in fear, the whole army of God, from the king on down, were paralyzed in fear. And here's this teenager that hears this guy defying God. And he says, what uncircumcised Philistine is going to defy the armies of the living God? You know, to him it was like, what, are you kidding? There's no match to God. So those other people may have been taking God's name in vain. They just weren't utilizing what God said they could do. Here's an example of it. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. This is, you know, the promised land was promised. It's a land that was promised to the Israel. You know, when they were in Egypt, God said, I'm going to get you out of Egypt, out of slavery, and I'm going to get you into the promised land, and it's going to be wonderful. And he got them out of Egypt, like he said, in incredible ways of miracles and stuff. And then they come to the edge of the promised land, and God told Moses, go and send 12 guys to check out the place and just bring us some information back of what it's like. So they bring back, there's 12 of them, they bring back the information, and in verse 26, we pick it up. Oh, no wonder I can't find it. I'm in the wrong book. I was like, that's just not looking right. Okay, Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. Verse 26, went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Because God kept saying, it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're coming back and saying, it is. And they brought back these huge things of grapes and stuff, unbelievably large. Nevertheless, yep, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, and it has got a lot of stuff. But, and here comes the trouble. Yep, God, it is exactly what God said it would be. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They were the big guys, like Goliath. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. So he listens to these guys talk and this and that. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." We just said they're the children of Anak, you know, the big guys. "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof.'" You know, these guys, they're really hungry. When you talk barbecue, we're talking barbecue. They're going to eat us up. "And all the people that saw it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return in Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of that land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.' But all the congregation bathed them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle congregation before all the children of Israel." And they ended up not going in. They waited 40 years, and a new generation finally went in. That's taking the Lord's name in vain, where you say, that can't happen. I think the best description of it is in Matthew chapter 15. Do we ever do this in our heart? No. Hopefully not. Matthew chapter 15, where we just don't believe it or walk out on it. Matthew chapter 15 is where some scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem were approached Jesus Christ and were trying to trick him in his words and this and that. And Jesus Christ's response in verse 7 says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" They worship God in a vain way. They replaced the truth of God's word the Old Testament, in that case, the Old Testament law, with commandments of men. And they traded it off. So we're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. We are to do like David did. He just carried it out. God said, you can do it, and he went and did it. Let's go to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 25. We want to believe what God says, his word says. You know, we are what God says we are, we have what God says we have, and we will be what God says we will be. And that's the truth of it. John chapter 10, verse 25 says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus Christ, the things that Jesus Christ did, and he did a lot of things. Doesn't take long to see. That guy was moving. Power of God. He did it in God's name. John chapter 5. Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. But Jesus Christ came in the name of God, and he operated what God said to do because of that name. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. In this day and time, in the New Testament, we have the name of Jesus Christ available to us. What's in the name of Jesus Christ? A lot. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says, and what is the once in a while power, if you're lucky on a Friday, no, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of this mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. A lot of stuff. he's like top. If he was a canine, he'd be the top dog, right? Just incredible. Let's go to Philippians, one book over to your right, chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, that he's got the name of all names. It's really wonderful. Let's look at our record in Acts chapter 3. Kind of briefly, Acts chapter 3. It was right after, shortly after the day of Pentecost, the start of the church. 12 apostles had received the gift of Holy Spirit. The apostles were teaching the word of God, and there were a lot of people believing that word and growing. And we find this record in chapter 3, starting with verse 1, of Peter and John going up into the temple at the hour of prayer. So it's verse 1. And now Peter and John went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, so he could never walk, and later the record says he was above 40 years old. So he hadn't walked ever, and he was not a young guy anymore. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. But he hadn't given up. To ask alms is sometimes that had nothing to do with your finances. You could be a very wealthy person, but you place yourself in that position to ask for alms, to ask for people to pray for you, to, you know, just to contribute to aid in your deliverance. It wasn't, sometimes it was money, but it was to, you know, that guy was still looking. After all those years, he was still trying to get healed. He had probably seen Jesus Christ, at least heard of his works, because they laid him in the same temple that he walked by. I mean, you have to be deaf to not have heard about Jesus Christ and what he did. So he's sitting there. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. See, he just was still looking. You know, where are we after 1 week sometimes of a problem? I mean, where are we? You know, how about 20 weeks? It's a long time to be sick of something. How about 30 weeks? How about 20 years? How about 30 years? How about 40 years? And this guy was above 40. It doesn't say how old. He was just above. He could have been 50. Who knows? But he was above 40. That's a long time. And still to have that desire for deliverance, it's a great example to us. Sometimes we give up too easily. But the name of God is very powerful. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine that? I mean, what would you do if you never walked and all of a sudden you can stand and you can leap? They'd be signing you up for basketball. Put a ball in that man's hand. I mean, how excited would you be? Oh, I got healed today. What else is new? He just was so excited, and rightfully so. And people saw it. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I bet you may have heard some of them say, holy shit, it's Jack, he's jumping up and down. I mean, they were in amazement. And I can understand that too. If any of us got delivered and we had a problem for a long time, we'd all be thrilled, right? I know the day that I stopped telling bad jokes, you're going to go, holy shit. That was actually funny. He's delivered. But wow. I mean, just think of it. Oh, they were wondering what the heck is going on. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or our own holiness we have made this man to walk? Was it David's great skill as a warrior that took Goliath down? The whole army of Israel was right there and couldn't do anything. One kid, one teenager, did it without a sword, without a spear, without the little guy in the front. What do you call that guy? I don't remember.
Armor bearer.
He didn't even have armor all on. You know? He was bare. So this great question, a great statement to him. You know, don't think it's us. David didn't claim all the praise afterwards. He said, in the name of the Lord of hosts. Peter and John, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And here's his answer, verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him, in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He's not really kind of like complimenting him. Says, you were the MFers that had him killed. Just remember that. That's pretty bold. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof you are witnesses. And his name, through faith or believing in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the believing which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, just as your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. And then he tells him, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Just incredible. And lastly, we're going back to Colossians chapter 3. When we utilize the name of Jesus Christ in our lives and what that means and represents, God's work can come to pass in our lives. How many promises of God do we know in the Word? Some of us know hundreds of them. There's over 900 of them. There are a lot of promises. There are more promises than kids promise to their parents. I promise I won't do that anymore. I promise. But, you know, there's a lot of that God, like I said before, and we've heard it many times, we are what God says we are. We have what God says we have. There's a lot of things he says we have. And we'll be what he says we will be. And, you know, we don't want to scoff at those truths like the children of Israel did. The land of milk and honey was right there in front of them. The proof was right there with those guys. And they still said, I don't think we can do it. And they walked back. They didn't get back into Egypt, but it wasn't too much fun where they were. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, and this is written directly to the church of God, it's a commandment. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I don't know what it all means, but I do know that we should walk in the name of the Lord Jesus in what we do. Is the power of God, the words of God, in what we're thinking, in what we're believing to see in our lives and accomplish, is God in it, or is it just five senses stuff? Whatever it is that we're going to do, it should be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not that you say, okay, I'm going to go to the mailbox in the name of the Lord Jesus. You grab the mail. Thank you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's in our hearts. And we're doing it, you know, whatever it is, that we're doing it God's way. And I don't dream too much, but the other night I had this dream, and I had a job working for somebody. I wasn't building houses. And they said, hey, you know, part of the job is this is a perk. You can do this, you can have that, and you can have this. And each one of them was devilish stuff, you know, things that I knew were wrong. And I said, I was really happy at the end result. I said, no, I don't want any of that. You know, I just didn't want it, you know. And So there are things that the world offers that is not good. And there are a lot of things that God offers that are really great. And we always have that choice. The things that we're going to do, is it because of what we have in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus? Or is it just because of what we, you know, make up? Do we want to go back to Egypt? Or do we want to live in the promised land, so to speak? So, but it's just a terrific verse. So, you know, when God said, don't take my name in vain, you know, don't leave it like without power, just like scoff at it and say, I got this other thing better. So, alrighty, a great way to live.